Happy Thanksgiving from Bob and Yart. We're replaying a recent show about Glenn Beck with important new information we've added to the beginning of the program, so let us know what you think.
One morning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob and Yarlite.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob and Yart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Glenn Beck today played the pro-life video, this pro-life Tea Party vote video, encouraging people to vote yes in Colorado on Amendment 62. And Glenn Beck is a Mormon, and the Mormon Church officially on their website, they have five exceptions to abortion. They say we're pro-life, a child's life begins at conception, but they list five conceptions, including rape and incest, for example, whereas the Bible says you don't kill a child for the crimes of the father. The Mormon Church lists reasons, including killing a child because his father is a criminal, a rapist, which is a great tragedy, of course. And Glenn Beck supports the Constitution. And we point this out over and over for 20 years on Bob and Yart Live. When people elevate the Constitution above God's word, what that means is they don't actually have any loyalty other than to their own opinion. That's it, their own opinion. They become their own standard of righteousness. The Constitution states that you cannot punish a child for the crimes of his father, because that was a practice in history. Stop the tape. Hi, this is Bob and Yart, and I want to address this issue of the U.S. Constitution's prohibition of corruption of blood and bills of attainder a little bit more thoroughly. So after the show ended, I did a little bit of updating of my notes, and so now I'm ready. So let's insert this into the program. Over the last 220 years or so since the Constitution was ratified, these phrases have become unfamiliar to the general public, so you might have to look them up to see what they refer to. Generally, abortion, the intentional killing of an innocent child in the womb, generally abortion violates the principles that are embodied in these phrases in the U.S. Constitution, bills of attainder and corruption of blood. Together, they prohibit the legislature from passing a law to execute someone or a group of people without a trial. And they prohibit a conviction for treason or some felony from tainting the children of the criminal, such that they would lose some of their rights, and primarily inheritance rights, because their father was a criminal. These laws are codified in the U.S. Constitution, and they represent legal principles that clearly do have some bearing on abortion. But the reason abortion is criminal is not because of what the U.S. Constitution may or may not say. Abortion is criminal because it violates the oldest precedent, God's enduring command, thou shalt not murder. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby, and it's always wrong to intentionally kill a baby. So if someone says, well, we have our process, we have precedent, well, you become lawless if your government or your system, your process, rejects thou shalt not murder, then it is no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. The phrase corruption of blood refers to the prohibition of a disinheritance from being passed on to children. Let me give you an example of this. Let's say your father was convicted of some felony or of being a traitor, and so he was put to death. And then years later, your grandfather died, and in his will he left his estate to you. By the corruption of blood, you would not be allowed to inherit your grandfather's estate, and the government would take it. Now, how is that logical? Well, they reasoned, and this is the laws in England and in the early years of the American colonies, they reasoned, hey, your father was a traitor, and he was convicted, and you received your right to inherit through your father. So therefore, because of the corruption of blood, you cannot inherit land from your grandfather, and the government would take it as one option. So the U.S. Constitution prohibits the corruption of blood, and that is a good thing, right? A granddaughter should not lose her rights because her father was a criminal. This concept of corruption of blood violates what God expressly prohibited in the Bible. God said that you shall not punish the child because of the crime of the father. So this goes way back, right? And the wicked concept that you can punish the child for the crime of the father, that goes way back too, way further, in fact, than even George W. Bush. He thinks you can punish the child for the crime of the father. This goes back further than National Right to Life. They support laws and leaders who advocate killing the baby because of the crime of the father. In fact, that idea is just a modern version of very old injustices, such as in the ancient Middle East. In Middle Eastern law, including from the Code of Hammurabi, which, by the way, when I first read the Code of Hammurabi, I think it was in the 1970s, and ever since I occasionally refer back because it helps us understand the ancient world, and that's part of the context of understanding law in the Roman Empire, in Europe, around the world, in the Bible. It helps us understand the context in which God gave the Mosaic Law. Well, in the Code of Hammurabi, there are specific laws where if a man commits a crime, you kill one of his children. For example, in the Code of Hammurabi, section 210, if a man assaults a pregnant woman, then if the woman dies, his own daughter shall be put to death. Of course, that's immoral. It's wicked. It's George W. Bush. It's most of our Republican leaders. It's National Right to Life. But it's ancient. It's an ancient wickedness which God corrected in the Bible and God condemned. You don't punish the child for the crime of the father. In the Code of Hammurabi in section 230, if a house collapses, then if it kills the son of the owner of the house, then the son of the builder shall be put to death. How's that? That reminds me of our conservative leaders today. It's so wicked, but hey, they want power and money and influence and fame, so they support this kind of thing. Kill the baby if the father's a criminal. In the Code of Hammurabi, section 116, if a businessman beats to death a debtor, someone who owes money to him, that debtor is without exception another man's son, right? He's another man's son. Then, if he was a freeborn man, then the son of the merchant shall be put to death. So a businessman beats to death somebody who owes him money, and then in the right circumstance, then you put to death the son of the businessman. It's perverse. So that's the origin of the concept of corruption of blood in law, as far as we know. And the U.S. Constitution prohibits the corruption of blood, which by the time of our founding referred primarily to denying a child certain rights, inheritance rights, if his father was a certain kind of criminal, a felon or a traitor. But today we have Christian, Republican, and pro-life leaders saying that you can deny a child of all of his rights, even of life, if his father is a criminal, that is, a rapist. And then let's talk just for another brief moment about the prohibition of a bill of attainder. That prohibition is reinforced by the Constitution's 5th and 14th Amendments, which require equal protection for all persons and which prohibit denying anyone of life without due process, that is, without being convicted of a capital crime. So what is a bill of attainder? Let me quote to you from Article 1, Section 9 of the U.S. Constitution. No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. Ex post facto, it is against the Constitution and against justice itself to pass a law and enforce it retroactively. That happens all the time. The government passes a tax increase, they make it retroactive. It's unjust. But Article 1, Section 9, no bill of attainder shall be passed. Article 3, Section 3, the Congress shall have power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or forfeiture except during the life of the person attainted. Okay, a bill of attainder is basically an act, a law passed by the legislature declaring a certain person or a group of people guilty of some crime and sentencing them to a punishment without the benefit of a trial. So when we pass a law that says that a child can be dismembered, can be killed, if his father is a criminal, well, you're sentencing that child to death by some legislative act of Congress. So whether the judges impose it or the legislature does it, either way, it's immoral, it's wicked, it violates God's enduring command, do not murder, and lo and behold, it even violates the principles within the U.S. Constitution. So you cannot deprive someone of life without due process. That is, you cannot be denied the right to life without being convicted of a capital crime. So in this program that I've just interrupted, Neil Bortz is against abortion, except for this, except for this, except for this, except for this, and except for this. He's a Mormon, and the Mormon Church on their official website has five exceptions. They say it's wrong to kill an unborn child, except for all these reasons. So it seems that Glenn Beck is not motivated by God saying, do not kill the innocent, do not sacrifice a child. That doesn't motivate him sufficiently. He has all kinds of exceptions, so he opposes recognizing the God-given right to life and personhood of the unborn child. But hey, the U.S. Constitution even condemns killing certain innocent people and punishing them because of the crimes of their fathers. So wouldn't Glenn Beck at least oppose killing the child of a rapist because of his belief in the Constitution? But you know what? It turns out that when somebody rejects God's command, do not murder, and they say they follow the Constitution instead, they're just lying. Because when you are so rebellious as to reject thou shalt not murder, you have made yourself the standard. And you don't really care what the Constitution says, what a contract says, what the law says, what God says. You care about what you think. You set yourself up as the standard. So now let's return to this Bob Inert Live program. And I don't normally bring that up because I try to communicate to people that it's God's word that determines whether something is right or wrong, not the Constitution. But I'll bring it up now because Glenn Beck, who did a favor to the Colorado personhood movement by playing the audio of this extraordinary video, but then, of course, he did a grave injustice to unborn children by saying that he would vote no because it's not filled with exceptions. So what I'd like to do is, in a moment, we will play audio from Glenn Beck's program today, where he talked about Amendment 62 and this video produced by Personhood USA. We'll talk through that, and this is all over the world now. This video has gone viral. We should see it at over 100,000 views very soon today. It's literally all over the world, in Europe, in India, here in America, and people are getting angry, like at Politics Daily at AOL. They're upset that it has Barack Obama's face morphing into the Angel of Death. And if that's unfair, the Angel of Death doesn't primarily target children to kill his victims, the Angel of Death. There actually isn't an Angel of Death. But as a metaphor, when people are killed, it's not primarily children who die. It's not primarily children, but Barack Obama, with his funding of hundreds of millions of dollars to kill innocent people, he's targeting children almost exclusively. So maybe it is a bit unfair to the Angel of Death to have Barack Obama's face morphed into the Angel of Death. The Angel of Death doesn't primarily target children. But let's go now and let's hear this, and occasionally we'll interrupt Glenn Beck, but let's play a good chunk of it for starters.
There is a video that has been produced by Personhood USA, based in Colorado. And there is Amendment 62 ballot initiative in Colorado that deals with the definition of personhood. It says the term person shall apply to every human being from the beginning of biological development of that human being. There is a two-minute video that attributes the decline of America to Colorado's 1967 approval of abortion to save a mother's life in cases of rape or incest. At one point, Obama's face appears, morphing from Grim Reaper, in the words, "Angel of Death arrived and hell followed him in." I want to play now. I'm going to read the words on the screen. But you, if I just read them to you without the music behind, it would diminish. And this concerns me because the images and the words on here are extraordinarily powerful and disturbing. And they are old pictures of the Supreme Court in Colorado and everything else. And I want to read this. It starts out with a black screen. By the way, you can see this at theblaze.com right now. I think it's one of the lead stories at theblaze.com.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this ad and see how you feel about it. It starts with a quote from Thomas Jefferson, just a black screen that says, "The care of human life and happiness, and not their destruction, is the first and only legitimate object of good government." Thomas Jefferson. Then fades to black, and the music starts. It's a gavel and a flag, and it says, "The decline of America began in Colorado in 67, when it became the first state in the nation to legalize abortion. The rest of the nation soon followed," and it shows protesters. Then the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., men in black robes plotted. They hated traditional American values and legislated their corrupt ideas from the bench. Year after year, the people tried to fight them. But the federal grip grew tighter and tighter. With friends in high places, the abortion industry is making billions and brought money that stood in their way. Then the Angel of Death arrived and hell followed with him. That's Obama on this. "The Angel of Death arrived and hell followed in. Facing an economic depression, he would spend $457 million in taxpayer money on funding abortion internationally. He classified conservatives as domestic extremists. He took over banks, industry, and finally our health care. The new law contained massive abortion funding and kickbacks for campaign contributions. Blood money. On November 2nd, 2010, Colorado will have the chance to stop. The people will vote on the most life-affirming law in the history of the nation. The choice could not be more clear. Vote for Amendment 62 is a vote for life, liberty, and traditional American values. A vote against Amendment 62 is a vote for the Obama agenda. Wow. The pundits claim that personhood will never pass in Colorado. Never underestimate the American people. We take America back on November 2nd. Disturbing images of the president as the Joker, as the Grim Reaper.
Doesn't help.
That is not helpful.
That is not helpful. That is not good.
Please stop the tape. Stop the tape. Barack Obama presides over the slaughter of innocent children by the millions. And when people have exceptions, like Ken Buck, like so many others, when they have exceptions, exceptions are the window to their soul. An exception is the window to his soul. So do they really believe, they say they're pro-life, they want the support of pro-lifers, they want their money, their votes, their Nielsen ratings, Arbitron ratings, but do they really believe that this is a child who's being killed by an abortionist? Do they really believe that? Or are they pro-life because it's a popular view among conservatives, and if they're not pro-life, they have a hard time getting elected or building an audience? And so if we were in Germany and somebody compared Hitler to the angel of death, well, who's going to object? He slaughters people by the millions. Barack Obama advocates killing children through all 9 months of gestation and after they're born, as with his opposition to the Born Alive Infant Protection Act at Christ Church in Chicago, where Jill Stanek was there when they aborted a baby and the baby survived and she held the baby, and their practice was to leave the baby to die instead of care for it as you care for patients in a hospital. And so Barack Obama fought against the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, saying that baby should be left to die and not given food or water or care or anything, any care whatsoever, because the parents wanted him dead or the mother wanted him dead. So that's the angel of death. That's a good metaphor for Obama advocating the slaughter of millions of children, millions. Since he's been president, he has the bully pulpit. Has he condemned China's forced abortion program? I haven't heard. Maybe I was on vacation. So pro-choice, pro-forced abortion, millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to kill kids, including in the Obamacare healthcare reform. And Obama said, healthcare, remember, it would not be for illegal aliens and it would not be for abortion. And we went on the air that day, those statements were made, and we said, it's going to cover abortion for illegal aliens. Never mind one or the other, it's going to do both at the same time. And so for Glenn Beck to defend Obama in the light of millions of children being dismembered by Planned Parenthood, and Obama is the foremost advocate of slaughtering children in the womb and even killing them, allowing them to die after a botched abortion when they haven't died, and to defend him, why? So that you could appear mainstream? You know, we Christians, we always make people our heroes and our leaders, and God warns us in his word. He warns us, he urges us to judge with righteous judgment. And if there are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the high priest, beware. So let's continue with Glenn.
This
Beck.
Is the kind of stuff.
You know, and while I agree with the overall message that abortion needs to stop, and I hope the bill passes, you know, the way they get to it is just, it's not right. It's not right.
Stop the tape. Stop the tape. Okay, so that's pretty interesting, right? Glenn Beck says, I agree with the issue. I hope the bill passes. It's not a bill, it's an amendment on the ballot, but that's close enough for government work. I hope the bill passes. I agree with the issue, but I don't like how they are going about it. Well, for one thing, this video has gone all over the world. This pro-life Tea Party vote video produced by Personhood USA has gone all over the world. It's a phenomenon. It's tremendous. It's so encouraging. People absolutely love it. It's on Blaze, theblaze.com, quasi-conservative Glenn Beck news website. And I agree with the issue, but I don't like how they... If you agree with the issue, Glenn, what you're saying is you think that unborn children have a right to life. They shouldn't be dismembered by Planned Parenthood. In the light of all the kids who are slaughtered by abortionists, you're going to complain about the style of a video? Just think in Germany when people were trying so hard to smuggle Jews to safety to protect them. Corrie Ten Boom, her family, The Hiding Place, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Schindler, Oscar Schindler. And you're going to complain about the style of one of their pamphlets in the face of the slaughter of the innocent? What a lack of perspective. Let's hear more from Glenn.
Hang on just a second.
Hang on just a second. I don't know what I just said.
That even in cases of rape and incest or to save the mother's life?
Oh, no. Is that the bill?
That's what it is.
Oh, okay. No, I don't. No.
The video attributes the decline of America to Colorado's 67 approval of abortion to save a mother's life or in cases of rape and incest.
I'm gonna, no.
No, I'm not for that.
If it's between my wife and, you know, an unborn, I'm sorry.
Stop the tape. If it's between my wife and a kid, I'd rather you rip the kid's arms and legs off. If it's between my wife and my neighbor, I'd rather you slit my neighbor's neck. You never kill the mother to save the baby. We have to teach Glenn Beck. We have to teach his sidekicks. They don't know. They don't understand. We do have to teach them. Just like we have to teach the Republican pro-lifers who use unborn children, the slaughter of children, as a fundraiser. And that's it. Because they get in office, and believe me, they don't save kids when they get in office for the last 40 years. Maybe Tom Tancredo will. He's endorsing Amendment 62. He's been solid pro-life. So hopefully, maybe he will. We'll see. But you never kill the mother to save the baby, and you don't kill the baby to save the mother. If it's an ectopic pregnancy, if the mother is dying, you deliver the baby. You don't kill the baby. Abortion means you kill the baby. You deliver the baby. There's a difference between delivery and killing, right? Most deliveries, the doctor's not attempting to kill the baby. You deliver the baby. Partial birth abortion, Glenn Beck probably supports the exception for the life of the mother, I imagine. That is the most ludicrous and wicked contortion of law, because you have a baby and say the mother is dying, so you need to deliver the baby to save the mother. Well, do you deliver the baby 80% of the way and then stop caring for the mother long enough to kill the baby? Put a knife in the back of the baby's head, stab the baby to death, which is what abortionists do, late-term abortionists. That's one of the ways they kill kids. And then return to caring for the mother? No, you care for the mom and the child, so they don't understand. Ken Buck doesn't understand. They have exceptions, and those exceptions are what gives you 50 million dead kids. What started in Colorado with life, rape, and incest, and serious health problems, those exceptions open the floodgates to 50 million slaughtered children by surgical abortion and all those killed by chemical weapons, abortifacients. Now, they don't understand the life of the mother, right? Let's say the mother loves the child and is willing to even sacrifice her life for the child. They think, well, then you have to kill the mother. Go kill the mother because we want to save the baby. No, you don't kill the mother to save the baby. You don't kill the baby to save the mother. You deliver the baby. And if the baby dies, it's a tragedy, but it's not intentional murder. You don't intend to kill the baby. You never intentionally kill a baby. Abortion is wrong because it's a baby. It's always wrong to intentionally kill an innocent baby. Let's continue.
I mean, that's rarely the case.
Well,
that's almost never the case.
The problem is the doctors use that as a loophole.
Yeah,
because they'll say it's emotional. Mm-hmm. Well, we're saving the mother's life because of emotional problems that she's going to have, et cetera, et cetera.
No,
so they use that.
I'm talking about physical death. If she's in danger of dying.
Well, your children, your wife has, what is that weird blood disease where your baby's blood
is? We have a Kell antigen thing. And
so she almost dies almost every time.
RH factor thing, yeah. Yeah, she's high risk every time.
And yet you still say.
We still had six. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you just like, come on, one more. What do you say? You know, rape and incest is, I can't imagine.
Yeah, okay.
I can't imagine.
Stop the tape. We have interviewed over the years a number of women who were either raped or conceived in rape, and we have the most extraordinary testimonials online. Just go to AmericanRightToLife.org/rape or go to Rebecca Kiesling's website. Just search Rebecca on our website, kgov.com. And the stories are there. The truth is there that when a woman is raped, it's the greatest, most horrendous violation, criminal, wicked violation. But an abortion then would be an additional rape and violation and a killing of the woman's child. And so many women who have been raped have recognized that you don't kill the baby for the crime of the father. That's what God's word says, the Bible. You're hearing that in pop culture now, from Law and Order to Criminal Minds to movies. You don't kill the baby for the crime of the father when a woman becomes pregnant by a rape. And women who have been impregnated in pop culture by rapists are saying this because it's true. 20 years ago, you might hear it in a Bible study at a small church, but other than on Bob and Your Live, I don't remember hearing it ever, anywhere in 10 years in my life. But now we're hearing it from conservative pro-life candidates from coast to coast. They're saying, I'm against abortion, even in the cases of rape and incest. Why? You don't kill a baby because his father's a criminal. That's what the Bible says. And Glenn Beck should know. I don't think he knows. I don't think he knows that the Constitution teaches that you don't kill a family member because of the crimes of the father. I just don't think he knows that. And why does it say that? It talks about the corruption of blood, and which is prohibited because it used to be in history that they would sometimes kill family members if the father was a criminal. And so the Constitution explicitly prohibits the corruption of blood. That's the phrase that was used back then, the idiomatic expression for killing a child or a family member for the crimes of the father. And the Constitution says you can't do that. Now, Glenn Beck should know that because he's the Constitution guru of the country. But no, if the father is a rapist, then you go ahead and kill the child. So, Glenn, why are you against abortion? Why generally? Because it's a tumor? Because it's a clump of cells? Or because it's a baby? And a baby is made in God's image and likeness. See, the Mormon Church, their website, they say that they are pro-life, that they believe that the unborn child is a baby and made in God's image and likeness. But they say right blatantly, right on their website, the Mormon Church official website, they say some circumstances justify an abortion, such as rape, incest, life of the mother, health of the mother, and if the fetus is handicapped. How's that? Severe defects in the fetus. You've got a baby who's handicapped. The Mormon Church says you could kill him. You've got a baby whose father's a criminal. The Mormon Church says you could kill him. So Glenn Beck is a Mormon, like Mitt Romney. Of course they would be confused, right? Of course they would. They don't understand. We need to teach them. The Mormon Church used to officially support polygamy. They used to be racist. And so now they changed because it was too difficult socially for them to maintain polygamy. So they had a revelation that polygamy was no longer acceptable. So they did away with that, except for the fringe groups. And so they'll do away with this one day. They'll realize that every child, no child should be intentionally killed by medical personnel. Let's continue with Glenn Beck.
Oh, that's probably the one thing that bothers me the most because I'm inconsistent on it. Because I believe...
Well, you talk about a woman's right to choose. I mean, that's taking away her right to choose. If you take away the right to choose at conception, she hasn't had that right.
Yes.
And then you say, though, well, either you agree, and this is where it gets tough. And most really hardcore pro-life people say, I don't care.
I can't,
it's still murder.
I can't bring myself there. And it bothers me because it is. I mean, look at my son, Rafi, from an adoption and extraordinary circumstances. And look at the blessing he is. Mm-hmm. Look at the blessing he is.
See, what they're talking about is, should I have supported them killing my son? Before I adopted him, it was a crisis pregnancy, apparently. Should I have supported killing my son? It's so difficult for me. It's such a hard decision, really. I really love him, but maybe his mom should have had a right to kill him. See how broken that is? How contradictory, inconsistent? And Glenn Beck is going to realize how inconsistent he is. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. In Kansas, Dave, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hi, Bob. I can remember one time in popular culture where the idea of not killing a child for the sins of the father was advocated. Do you remember that?
I remember a couple times in recent memory, but tell me, what are you recalling?
Do you remember the movie Rob Roy?
No, I never saw Rob Roy.
A fantastic movie, and at one point he talks about his wife was raped, and they mention the possibility of killing that baby, and he goes, it ain't the baby that needs killing. And I thought that was fantastic.
Dave, that is so fantastic. I'm going to write that down. Rob Roy.
Watch the movie. It's
it
really
ain't
good.
The baby that needs killing. See, how do you know you're a liberal? If regarding rape, abortion and rape, if you think that you should kill the baby but love and protect the rapist, then you're a liberal.
That's
a liberal
right.
will kill the baby and love and protect the rapist, literally. God's word teaches us you kill the rapist, the death penalty, and then you would not have an epidemic of rape like we do. You kill the rapist and you love the baby. But to be a liberal, you kill the baby and you love and protect the rapist.
Anyway, within 10 minutes of hearing that, I emailed him, and you mentioned that he does need education on the subject, and I encourage them to contact person at Colorado and to get you guys on the air. I don't know if it'll ever happen.
Wow, what a great idea. Maybe other people could email Glenn. How did you email Glenn Beck?
Just me at glennbeck.com. I emailed him and the other guy, Stu, or whatever.
All right, me at glennbeck.com.
Mm-hmm. And lots of people need to do that. I think a discussion on this, I think he's all over the place on this issue. And I think he, deep down knows the truth.
Yeah, and many of the comments. Hey, Dave,
and,
the hundreds of comments on his website,
mm-hmm.
on the Blaze under the
right.
video, are so many of them, in fact, virtually all of them, are supporting the video.
Yeah.
They're supporting the video. They're supporting Amendment 62, the personhood of the child. So Glenn Beck, his audience, has the potential to teach him.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thank you, Dave.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
May God bless you. I appreciate that. So we've got, this is really interesting. We've got this video that Glenn Beck is really unsure about. We've got this video going viral, and that is very encouraging. So we also have in the U.S. Constitution, the corruption of blood? And this is Article 3, Section 3. It should be obvious to all of us that you do not kill a child for the crime of his father. The U.S. Constitution states clearly that Congress has power to punish, but not to work the corruption of blood. Not to work the corruption of blood. And people say, what is the corruption of blood? Just look into any historical resource, look at any annotated constitution online. The terms have changed in the last couple hundred years, just like we use terms today like hit the road, that the Romans wouldn't know what you mean when you say hit the road. But Glenn Beck needs to hit the books of scripture. He needs to find out that you don't kill a child for the crimes of his father. And Glenn, check out the U.S. Constitution on that also.